Good afternoon. House Labor and Commerce will come to order at 3:17. With us are Representative Chenault, Representative Booth, Representative Coghill, Vice Chair Newman, and myself, Chair Olson. We have two items on the, and Representative Bob Lynn. I think that's probably all we're going to have today. We have two items on the calendar today, but first I'd like to remind everybody to shut their cell phones off. John?
I'm trying to find the off button.
Todd, you have a phone on you?
Yeah, I think.
I have a cell phone on, but it's not on.
First item on the calendar today will be House Bill 104, and with us we have Linda Hall from the Division of Insurance. This bill is workers' compensation medical treatment fees, and would you please join us, Ms. Hall? Welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. And I'd say I'm glad to be back, except it's snowing out. I think you have in your packet a copy of House Bill 104, and I would like to make some comments. They will be fairly brief today. I think this is, I've said this before with bills I've done, but I think this is probably the shortest bill you've ever heard me do. So that should be encouraging. This is the medical fee schedule bill. Title 23, the workers' compensation, provides that charges for medical treatment services are regulated by the Workers' Compensation Board. There are standards set in the board fee schedule, and when we get into the history of this issue, 2005 workers' compensation legislation repealed the methodology for setting the maximum fees and froze the 2004 medical fee schedule. 2007, we again had legislation that extended that same 2004 fee schedule until March 31st of 2009 and applied a consumer price index increase. That's important history because on March 31st, 2009, the next month, that fee schedule expires. That leaves us with no cap on medical fees. And the impact of that is in, I believe, an attachment that you have in your packet. It looks like this. It's three pages. It is from the National Council on Compensation Insurance. And I'm not going to expect that you've read that. I'm not going to read it to you. It is a fairly technical analysis of the National Council's analysis of what the expiration of this fee cap means. National Council on Compensation makes loss cost filings with the Division of Insurance. Those are what ultimately generate workers' compensation premiums. Their analysis in this attachment you have, if you look at the very last page, is from April 1st through the end of the year. From the time of the expiration till the end of the year, that expiration, that lack of a cap on medical fees, would have a 5.2% impact on the system cost, which basically says work comp premiums are that much higher. This was a piece of the filing they made with the division that we approved for the January 1, 2009 rates. Should this cap be reenacted, there is a potential that rates could be decreased. So that's my major interest in this bill, is having this fee cap extended. The projected increase I've mentioned is 5.2%. Most of you have heard me testify about why workers' compensation is as high as it is, and I'm going to talk about some statistics that I think are important. Again, I'll do this briefly. 2006, Alaska had, according to a study done by Oregon, they were ranked number one in premium. That's how much premium we pay. That was our rate ranking. I was really hopeful. We have had a couple years of rate decreases. Unfortunately, the 2008 ranking came out recently, and we're still number one. This is not an area that I think we want to be number one in. That means our employers, on average, and it is an average, are paying higher workers' compensation premiums than any place else in the country. The other thing I'd like to point out to you is the medical fees as a part of our whole workers' compensation benefit cost. In Alaska, this is 2007 data, and I don't have the exact one, so I'm not going to use 2008. 2007, medical fees took 71% of our compensation, of our benefit system. So the cost of the system, I'm not talking about premium, but the cost of the system, 71% goes to medical fees. The reason I'm using that is into the same time period, 2007, nationally for all NCCI states, and that's like 35 states, I believe, that percentage is 59%. It means 12% more of our benefit system is going to medical cost than the national average. So my concern as I look at that, we are already at very high rates for our employers. If this fee schedule expires, those rates have the potential to be even higher. This bill, I think, is a very straightforward solution. It's a change that's identical to the 2007 legislation that kept the current fee schedule and applies a CPI percentage increase that's applicable from 2004 to 2008. That CPI index is included in your packet, so you can see there's each year there is a CPI medical component increase. The fee schedule would increase by that amount, so that we are not requiring providers to not get an increase in the fees they can charge. This is a very time-sensitive issue. The schedule expires March 31st. This is the first hearing on the bill. I'm very hopeful to have this bill through both bodies of the legislature by the end of March, so that the fee schedule does not expire. This is not a perfect solution, as you well know. It does not include common procedural terminology codes. There are, as I understand it, several, probably 1,000 codes for various procedures that are done. And those are in docs offices, in clinics. Those codes are billing codes, and that's how the old fee schedule was arranged. New ones are generated every year. So the fee schedule itself and those codes are not updated by this legislation. Legislation doesn't create a standard billing and coding system. It doesn't create a permanent solution. But I think what it does do is keep some control on medical costs and allow, again, a period of time to work with a permanent solution for having a fee schedule that all the stakeholders have input in. But right now, my biggest concern is the cost of workers' compensation coverage, which is driven by the cost of claims. And I would urge your support, and I would be more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, I'd like to add right now that there's a companion bill in the Senate. I don't believe it's been read across, but it will be read across this week. Because the issue is time sensitive. Any questions for Ms. Hall? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Linda, so what is this, just to kind of put it in layman terms, woodworker terms, what does this do to what doctors charge patients, or is that affected at all on this? And talk to me about that. Do they get more money for what they're going to be able to charge?
There, with this consumer price index increase, they will be able to charge more than they charge today, but there will still be a cap on how much they can charge.
That's what I thought. At about 5.5% increase. 5.2.
Those, you take those percentages times what the schedule was in 2004, and it's like compound interest. So while they add up, I think, to about, how many are there? They're five at roughly 4%. That's like 20% those do compound. And the 2004 to 2006 would already have been in place with the 2007 legislation.
Now we're clear. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, thanks. Representative Coghill.
Thank you. I'm looking at the page 2, line 6, of the December 31st, and I'm sorry I didn't catch this earlier. In order to work for a, I can understand why you'd want to have the 2010, it's really kind of the end of the start, if I understand correctly, that it says, on, but before December 31st. And I'm just, I'm going to think out loud here. If we're going to look for a solution that's permanent, I'm just trying to think, how does that work with those who end up working on a permanent solution? Is it anticipated that there will be other work done, or help me understand what that date really tells me. If I'm missing the whole point on it, but if I understand correctly, the schedule, the board's schedule, has to be provided before this time. So I understand the beginning time that we have in March to keep going. But help me understand the December 31st. I'm missing the logic there. Help me.
The December 31st, 2010 date would be a sunset much like we have right now. At that time, the fee schedule with these CPI increases that's proposed by this bill would expire. So I'm going to use an example. We normally have a public rate hearing on workers' compensation rates in September for rates to be effective January 1st of the following year. And we would need to have some idea. Well, we would know because legislative session for 2010 would be finished by then, that what kind of fee schedule there was going to be to build into those rates. But rates are effective the first of the year. This March date of expiration that was done in the 2007 legislation is awkward in terms of rate-making cycles.
Okay, that's what I did not understand. Thank you. That answers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Ms. Hall. Ms. Hall. I think we'll open it up to people signed up in the room. Rod Bennett, care to join us? Open it up to public testimony. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Rod Beatty, the president of the Alaska State Hospital and Nursing Home Association. We want to echo our support for this piece of legislation. Without it, prices would automatically increase because the state does not have the discretion to set a different reimbursement scheme without something actually in statute, and that would have the consequence of costing insurers more and costing employers an increase in their worker compensation premiums. We think this is just a temporary solution that takes it out another year and a half, basically, doesn't fix the problem. Former Senator Seekins had a task force at one point that was supposed to come up with a permanent solution to present to you, but his not coming back to the legislature caused that task force basically to fall apart. So right now the responsibility rests with the Department of Labor, and they have a medical review committee that's supposed to be looking at this, and hopefully we'll have constructed a permanent reimbursement recommendation for you for next session's consideration. We're just hoping that will happen. So we're very supportive of this legislation and urge its passage out of your committee. Be happy to answer any
that was
questions.
Another missing piece of aid.
Oh.
Thank you. That was a good
answer. Any questions? Well, thanks again. And I might add that we've received no word of any opposition to this bill at my office. And I don't believe Ms. Hall has either, for that matter, although I hesitate to put words in her mouth. Is there anybody else in the room that would care to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll go off net. And do we have anybody at the LIOs? We have no testimony off net. I think at this point in time, we'll close public testimony and bring it back to the committee. Any committee comments? Representative Coghill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is a problem that begs a solution. So this is just a foyer, so I'd be interested maybe if somewhere along the line the committee could talk to those who are working on solutions and find out kind of what we might want to do. And even if we lay out a an interim issue along the way, I think nobody loves to jump into workers' comp issues, especially when it comes to rate setting and putting it in statute, but I still think this begs a solution. But if you want, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and make the motion to move the bill, unless you want the vice chair to make that move.
Oh, you haven't done one for a while.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we move House Bill 104 out of committee with individual recommendations and an attached fiscal note.
Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the bill will move out of committee, and we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Item on the agenda is House Bill 64, gift cards and gift certificates. With us is the sponsor of the bill, Representative Carl Gott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We covered this last time. Had some discussions with a couple of members from the committee. And if there are any further questions at this point, I think this is a good time to answer them.
Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill? Is there anybody off net? Pardon me? Well, it's question only on two of them, I believe, yeah. Seeing no further public testimony, we'll close it to public testimony and bring it back to the committee. Representative Coghill?
Mr. Chairman, I think I was one of the ones that was questioning the perpetuity, on page 3, line 18, is the question that really got to me. And so I asked the sponsors to come visit with me, and after looking through the bill, was fairly convinced that when somebody puts the cash up front, that the value should be what it is. And so I've been satisfied. So any objections I had to the bill, I'm removing.
And we've been joined by Representative Gardner, co-prime of the bill, as I recall. Any further questions or comments? What are the wishes of the committee, Vice Chair?
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 64, version /E, with any individual recommendations or attached fiscal notes from committee.
Is there any opposition? Seeing none, this bill, too, will move out of committee. And with that, we're adjourned at 3:40.
Sweet job.